Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now 15 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Mawlana Nazir Ahmad Raghi. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Mawlana. And we also take this opportunity of greeting our esteemed listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Marana, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Marana. Very well.
We're
enjoying the heat of South Africa. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. We just hope that we get good news later on when we hear about the budget speech also.
Inshallah, inshallah. Let's be positive.
Let's be positive. Marana, we were discussing the topic understanding modern technology, and we were doing about social media. And in our last discussion, we were explaining how that the money for social media is attention. And also we said that when in social media there's a risk of publicizing sins. Either you can publicize your own sins by telling people, hey, this is what I did last night, this is what a nice time I had. So in that way you're publicizing your own sins, and then you're publicizing other people's sins by saying, hey, I saw this one, there's a ghibah also going on. And then we did a dua that we learned, also, we said that one of the names that Allah has is Satir, and it's one of the attributes of Allah. And Allah is aware of our sins, yet He covers it up. He covers our major sins hidden from those who are closest to us. Marana, just the dua that we did do last week, Marana, we can just go over the dua again.
Marana, you're taking my empty hand, Marana.
Marana, I think the dua was quite long. I only went halfway through writing the dua out.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The dua that we spoke of last week was اللهم إني أسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة. Oh Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in this life and the next. اللهم إني أسألك العفو والعافية في ديني ودنياي وأهلي ومالي. And oh Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in my religion, في ديني وَدُنْيَايَا, and in my worldly affairs, وَأَهْلِي وَمَالِي, and in my family and in my wealth. اللهم استر عوراتي وآمن روعاتي, and this was the area that we had focused on. اللهم استر عوراتي وآمن روعاتي. Oh Allah, veil my weakness and set ease my dismay. اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي. And oh Allah, preserve me from the front and from behind, and on my right and on my left, and from above. اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي, وأعوذ بعظمتك أن أغطال من تحتي. And oh Allah, I take refuge with you lest I be swallowed up by the earth. But the area that we had focused on was Allahumma astur awrati wa amin rawati. Oh Allah, veil my weakness and set ease my dismay and my difficulties. A dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made for the protection of oneself, and asking Allah for good in this world, in with regards to one's wealth, with regards to one's family, with regards to everything that is around us, protection from above, protection from the right, protection from the left, and asking Allah to veil your weaknesses. Yet social media allows you to expose your weaknesses, a total opposite of the temperament of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, totally opposite of the temperament that our deen wishes to encourage within us. And that's the dua that we had discussed last week, Marana.
I hope
I passed your exam, Marana.
No, Marana, it wasn't an exam, it was just that we had some callers who were asking for the dua also. And also, Marana, last week we discussed towards the end is that on social media we get that we're speaking to certain people, and that we can see for ourselves whether it's correct to speak to certain people, example, males speaking to females. And we had quite a few questions also about this person on a family group where you certain people, they start messaging you in private, and obviously from the opposite sex, and we know that that's not correct.
Yes, we had spoken about that, and we also said that there are sometimes occasions when it is necessary to have some of these chats over social media. Sometimes it is about your work related and all of that. And we gave some guidelines with this, that if it is with regards to intergender communication, keep it public, keep it professional, keep it limited. And all this requires maturity and responsibility.
Okay. Thereafter, we did the psychology of the user, that the addiction and the wasting of time. And thereafter, we came to the ayat, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. I think
yes.
That's where we stopped.
Yes. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, if you want me to continue from here, Malana. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that the true believers are the ones, those who are guaranteed success, are those that go out of the way to abstain from useless activity. عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. People, believers who are guaranteed success in this world and the year after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, this is ayah, surah number 22, where Allah says, are those who abstain from useless activity. Now, we can think of this in those who stay away from useless activity, and useless activity will be a wide range of activities, where it doesn't even bring you any benefit. The word lahu, which has been used in this ayah, is something that has no benefit. Not only as a Muslim, but even just as a human being, it has no benefit. No benefit to your health. You know, sometimes even engaging in sports gives you some benefit. Engaging in some physical activity gives you benefit. At least your health, your social interaction. But social media, Facebook, etc., which is the core of our discussion, many a times falls under the category of lagh, falls under the category of pure, mere, sheer, useless activity. Engaging in social media for basic level of communicating with friends that live a bit far, and you communicate to keep in touch, alhamdulillah, that's fine. You're maintaining your family relationship, you're maintaining some communication. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is pure useless indulgence where hours on end, and that's where it starts to become a problem. You know, let's just look at some of the quotations of our classical scholars with regards to useless activity, with regards to wasting time. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, a great scholar in history of Islam, and he says, and I'm quoting this just as food for thought, it may help us. He says, you can strive to be a better person, and he narrates in his kitab, he said, Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, that I saw people describing people that came before them, meaning the tabi'in, and these are supposed to be our role models, and how they were more careful about their time than they were about their dirhams and dinars. They were more cautious about their time than about their money. To give you an example, let's say for example, someone tells you that there is the latest iPad, latest iPhone, and there is going to be a 20% discount on this. And when you want to buy the latest phone, you need to buy it with your own money. Would you go for the discount? Definitely you will go. Imagine you have 45 minutes. Now, you could go into your room, close the door and say, you know, it's now my time, Facebook time, or you could value that time that you have. Now, we have to learn to value our time and what you are doing with it. Let's make a small comparison, and a small comparison in our mind. Everyone, just do the maths in your head. I want you to compare the amount of time every day we spend online, whether it be Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, etc., versus the amount of time we spend talking to Allah on a daily basis. And that includes everything. Reading Quran, making dhikr. Take care of your time. Be practical about it and use it productively. Last week there was a caller that spoke about, you know, ulama chat groups and all of that. And for that benefit, I have decided I'm going to address some of those aspects also, but at a later stage, inshallah.
Sure.
Just a thought came to my mind that there was that caller, and there was someone that spoke in about, you know, ulama chat groups and all of that. But we'll talk about that later, inshallah.
Sure.
Just coming back to useless activity versus spending time on social media. and primarily the aspect of wasting time. You know, dua is the greatest casualty in our socially networked life. Dua. The greatest casualty in this socially networked life is dua. Just as every technology is an invitation to enhance some part of our lives. Any technology that you take, every technology would enhance some part of our lives. But it's also necessarily an invitation to be drawn away from something else. This is a quotation of a person that I have read, that just as every technology is an invitation to enhance some part of our lives, it's also necessary that an invitation to be drawn away from something else. And social media, while it has all its benefits, we're not talking about only the wrongs and the ills, it has tremendous benefits. But one very important trade-off of being engaged with our phones and be obsessed with our media and our technology is that we are now living in an era that I would call the end of absence. We just don't have time to just relax and daydream anymore. The time is gone. Let's take a typical day. It's 30 minutes before Fajr time ends. The alarm on your smartphone starts going on. You reach over and try to swipe the screen, but end up smacking your phone and hope it went into snooze mode. A few minutes later, it goes off again because you put it on snooze. You are slightly aware that time of salah is ending soon and you grab your phone. With one eye barely opened and the other eye unable to even open, you unlock your phone and the bright screen smacks you in the face. And when that happens, you just see 27 new WhatsApp messages, 15 new emails. And what you do, you quickly go through them to see if there's anything important, even though hardly a single WhatsApp, a single email out of the past 5,000 you've received has hardly qualified as an immediate emergency. Now, one-eyed, blurry-eyed or not, your fingers instinctively go to where the Facebook icon is. Three new notifications. Did anyone like the photo I posted last night? Who left comments on my status? What do they say? Then you go to Twitter, Instagram, email again, just in case something new popped up. No new text messages. And that whole time of Fajr, such an important time, using that time and losing that time for these type of things. And even at work, it's the same. You sit down, it's Gmail, Facebook, YouTube, text, work. Repeat, how many web browser tabs do you have open at the same time on an average? Exactly, just think for a moment. You're at a traffic light on the road, and you see this so often. The traffic light says red, the robot says red. You're on your way home, or you're at work, the same thing. Waiting at line at the pick and pay, at the teller, same thing. We are just busy, giving everything continuous or partial attention without a break. That's what happened to men. At night, before going to bed, we repeat the same cycle. Only putting the phone down after we are no longer afraid of having enough energy to stay awake. That is being at the point of completely passing out. You know, I've always felt that I had this perspective on social media life. And after all, I also signed up for Facebook myself. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realize until I read this book, Harris has written this book on social media, was that we are becoming human beings, you and I, are becoming an endangered species. Or rather, should I say, I might be becoming an endangered species. And I'm going to quote from this book. And I want our listeners just to reflect what he says. we have, he says, quote, we have in this brief historical moment, this moment in between two modes of being, a very rare opportunity for those of us who have lived both with and without this vast, crowded connectivity the internet provides. In other words, there was a time when we didn't have all of that. And now there is a time where we are obsessed with all of this. And there was a time between the two. Now these are the few days when we can still notice the difference between before and after. Maybe people of my generation might be able to reflect that we are in that period where we know what was there before social media kicked in, and we also know what is now with our lives and with our time in the presence of social media. And there is a single difference that we feel most keenly, he continues to say, and that is the end of absence. The daydreaming silence in our lives are filled. The burning solitudes are extinguished. Now, if we were born before 1985, then you know what life was like both with internet and without. Any younger and you haven't lived as an adult in pre-internet landscape. We haven't lived in that life of pre-social media landscape. If we were the last people in history to know life before social media, before internet, we are also only the ones who will ever speak as if it were both languages. And he's writing, and I'm just quoting from him. Some inventions are more than discrete gadgets. They dissolve into the very atmosphere of our lives. And who can notice even the air that we breathe anymore? Technological progress will not be done. Social media is a tool just like television before it, and the printing press before that. The tool is not inherently good or evil, it's how we use it. And this point is fairly obvious. But the questions that we need to ask is, what trade-offs come as a result of using this technology? Every revolution in communication, from papyrus to the printing press to Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, is as much an opportunity to be drawn away from something as it is to be drawn forward into something. Now, as we embrace technology, we usually fail to consider what they ask from us in return. The subtle, hardly noticeable payments we are making, the trade-offs we are making in exchange for this marvelous service that we have of social media is we don't even notice what we have lost. For example, the gaps in our schedules have disappeared because we are so busy delighting in the amusements that fill them with social media. We forget the games that childhood boredom forged us to play because that is no more there. Simply put, we have given up our free time. We've given up our energy. Now, for the real trade-offs, besides the just silent moments that we used to have in the past of just silently sitting and thinking and pondering and reflecting are gone. Because every moment of silence, every moment of non-activity, it's the gadget. It's flipping from one post to the other, from one status to the other, from one message to the other, and just, it's just that. We don't even, never mind the silent moments, we've even given up the normal prophetic supplications for waking up, and the normal adhikar and adhiya for sleeping. And this is not out of laziness, it's not out of apathy, but because we haven't allowed ourselves the mental energy to do so because something else has taken our attention. Let's ask this question. What are we giving up? Every interruption is rationalized. There are people we need to connect with. Yes, we will say that. Inquiries that demand our replies. Photos that need to be liked. our extended hours are given up for simply momentary occasions and concessions. In our rush towards the promise of Google, Facebook, towards the promise of reduced ignorance and reduced loneliness, we feel certain that we are rushing towards a better life. But we forget the accommodations we made along the way. This is things that I've just taken from this book on social media that has been written by this person, Harris. What we fear today, lots of us, is loneliness. It is an inability to be alone with our own thoughts. It's gone. We don't even have the ability to be alone with our own thoughts anymore because of social media. We don't even have the time to be alone with our own thoughts and emotions. In essence, this is a trade-off. We have lost the ability to reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Sa'ad, verse number 29, كِتَابٌ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah says about the Quran, this is a blessed book. أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ. We have revealed to you a blessed book. Why? So that they deliberate in its verses. لِيَتَّبَّرُوا. Think, ponder. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرُوا. And so that the men of understanding may heed to advice. We have revealed to you, says Allah, O Muhammad, a book so that they may reflect upon its verses. And that those of understanding would be reminded. We want the easy solution of how to enrich our salah. We all complain that we cannot concentrate in our salah. And we want that magic pill that will bring us closer to Allah. In fact, if this discussion was three ways to increase your khushu in salah, we would have had so many people wanting to listen to it. The reality is, those huge parts of our faith and those parts of our iman and those parts of our spirituality are predicated on our ability to focus, to give attention, to reflect. And this requires quiet moments. But unfortunately, those quiet moments are gone. It demands of us to make a choice. We need to make a choice. We have to decide what is more important. There are no easy action items or easy solutions. We have to take up the exhausting task of being conscious about what we pay attention to. The default, the result of this is, if we do not live consciously and we become unconscious about our environment, unconscious about the people around us, this is ghafla. It is being negligent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, and this is, you know, something that we need to reflect, that has our social media interaction made us neglectful of our own selves, of those quiet moments where we would have used that time to reflect? Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاتْمَأَنُّ بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ عَيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. What a powerful ayah. You know, it's like, it's an ayah that's hitting at this activity of being constantly consumed by social media. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Those who do not believe in meeting us. وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And are quite happy with the life of this world. They are quite happy in the way they are living. وَاتْمَأَنُّ بِهَا. And are content with how they are living. وَالَّذِينَ هُمَنْ عَيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. And those who are heedless to our signs. Indeed, those who do not expect the meeting with us, says Allah, and are satisfied with the life of this world and feeling secure therein, and those who are heedless of our signs. Now those of us that are born before 1985, We have seen how technology has slowly made trade-offs that others in our generation, in our children, may not see. We see the choices that have been made that to others look like the default way of living. Today, a child, to be engrossed and obsessed with his phone and all of that seems like a normal way of living. However, those that were born before 1985 may have seen how technology has slowly made this trade-off. We need to understand awareness is critical. To be aware of our situation is critical. If we can't naturally find the moments to remember Allah, then we have to engineer those moments. We have to create those moments. We have to create the moments of solitude and reflection. We must remember that dua, talking to Allah, reflecting on Allah, is not an item we can multitask. This is another problem with social media, that we are sitting on a table eating, and we are all guilty of that. I even say that I might be the most guilty of it, but we need to be aware of it. That it has made us people, animals, or rather creatures of multitasking, and yet we think we are being good in multitasking. But really we're not. We are eating, we are sending a WhatsApp message, watching something, at the same time talking to the family members around the table, and we are supposed to be enjoying that food. Does it really happen? So, this reflection, dua, is not an item we can multitask. We have to create moments where we can pour our heart to Allah with full attention, not partial attention. Instead of squeezing in the dhikr, instead of squeezing in the dua to be recited before meals or after meals, instead of squeezing in a dua when we find time, we should make those devotional acts self-made. It should be a prerequisite to touching our phones. We have to reclaim our expendable hours. We don't have time anymore. We say there's no time. But we have to reclaim those expendable hours and make them hours essential to our connection with Allah. What trade-offs have we made for social media? Have we noticed a direct impact on our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's all to do with wasting time on social media. Remember, Facebook, social media is a tool. The way you use it is the way it will affect you. A knife can be used for cutting your food, but also to hurt someone. Social media, it's a great way of wasting time. It takes us away from the remembrance of Allah. And when that happens, when we don't spend sufficient time in reflecting on the greatness of Allah, we don't spend sufficient time in remembering Allah, and when that happens, it hardens our hearts. And hardened hearts are much easily susceptible to the negative influence of these mediums. I'm saying this again. Social media is a great way of wasting time. It takes us away from the remembrance of Allah, and when that happens, our hearts become hard. And when our hearts become hard, we are easily more affected by the negative influence of social media. How many of us really sit and read the Quran in the time that we spent with social media? How many of us really read our normal adhkar anymore? The ma'thurat, the prophetic adhkar of the day. How many of us really asked Allah for the protection of this day? And that asking Allah takes time. To protect ourselves from the evil of ourselves and the evil of creation, to elevate ourselves in the sight of Allah, then we will realize that we don't have the time to post insults. We don't have the time to post gossip. We don't have the time and statuses to post statuses and waste our valuable time. Humans, since the beginning of civilization, since the beginning of humankind, How much time are we willing to waste? This was a question that psychologists have always asked. Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam had always addressed from the beginning of the whole chain of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. This is an old issue since the creation of man. How much time we wish to give for important things. How much time we wish to spend on unimportant things. How much do we wish to indulge? How much do we want to do things that will help us in the life of tomorrow? Are people even willing to think in this way anymore? The issue of wasting time is nothing new. Think, why is your phone keeping you away from praying Fajr? And how to fix it? I don't know if you want to come in here, we can come in or ask our listeners if they want to come in, otherwise we can continue.
The lines are open, the number is 011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548, and the SMS line is 488-55, 488-55. We are waiting for interaction from the listeners to see what they have to say about how the ill effects of social media also. We're waiting for calls, so then we can carry on.
And also, if there are things wrong that people are disagreeing with me, please feel free to disagree. It's actually good. It opens our thinking. It opens our minds. A question that I would like to ask, Ma, whilst we're talking about wasting time, we spoke about how it keeps us away from, you know, lots of things. I want to ask a question. Why is our phones keeping us away from praying Fajr, and how to fix that? That's a hope that each one has to get up early and be productive. And we always say that, I know I'm supposed to have a solid daily routine. And this is, you know, resolutions that we make continuously for ourselves. No matter what I do, it just doesn't work. I just can't stick to the routine. Then we say, maybe I'm not meant to be a morning person. It seems like every single morning is an unbelievable exercise to get my willpower and try to wake up. There are people that experience this, and we need to address realities. And we would say that if I could wake up on time for Fajr or even earlier every day, read Quran, make dua, and even spend some time exercising, have a relaxed, wholesome breakfast, and leave for work, school, madrasa, whatever, on time, it would transform my life. How many of us really have this resolution that we make to ourselves? I want to get up on time for Fajr every day. I want to read Quran. I want to spend time making dua, and even spend some time for myself, exercise, have a good, relaxed, wholesome breakfast, and then with ease, without rush, leave for madrasa, school, work, whatever. If I can do that, it would transform my life. You know, it's been said very beautifully that the first hour of your life in the morning is the rudder. You know, rudder is that anchor, the steering that steers the ship. That the first hour is the rudder of the day. And if I'm lazy or haphazard in my actions during the first hour after I wake up, I tend to have a fairly lazy and unfocused day.
We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for taking my call. An excellent program. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you.
Amen.
Just a few things I would like to mention. We go into an office, or we were standing in a queue and waiting to be served. If we can utilize that time by saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, that would be so much more beneficial. People sit for hours and hours and hours on the phone, as you've mentioned. If we could utilize that time by making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would be far more beneficial. And I would also like to mention that our older folk, they were not that learned, or they were not that wealthy, but their iman was solid. and they had far more happiness in their life because their concern was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah. While we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can you hear me?
Gee, we can hear you.
Well, I just want to make one comment. What I've observed is most of today's youth, they are not in touch with the media. They don't even know what's happening around the world, especially in the Middle East, what's happening to the Muslims. And they are just too addicted to their cell phones. And, you know, most of them, you ask them, they don't even know what's happening in Syria, in Libya, or all the other Muslim countries that are affected, the refugees. You know, absolutely nothing.
See. Marana, just a comment on that. We thought that now with social media, it will be much easier to get to know what's happening around the world. I mean, you have social media, internet is on your phone. Normally, I remember when we were in school, and the only place you could go to get the internet was at a library. Marana?
Yes, ma'am, but as I said, look, the social media is there. It's a platform that we can use it for good and we can use it for things that is not so good. And the encouragement is that if you want to use it maturely, use it responsibly, and use it for positive things. And that's exactly what we had been saying all this time.
Si.
Yes. Well, can I carry on?
Si, ma'am, you can carry on.
Okay. Well, what we are talking about is that the first hour, we're talking about the first hour in the morning and how the phone is keeping me away from getting up. And it has been said that the first hour is the rudder of the day. And if I'm lazy or haphazard in my actions during the first hour after I wake up, I tend to have a fairly lazy, unproductive, unfocused day. But if I strive to make that first hour optimally productive, the rest of the day tends to follow good. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed to Allah, subhanallah. If you just look at these sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a role model was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua to Allah. And he prayed to Allah that, O Allah, grant abundance to the ummah in the early mornings. O Allah, bless my nation, bless my ummah in their early mornings, that is what they do early in the morning, grant them barakah in that. This is a hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah. And then, besides the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made for you and me, he made this dua for you and I that in the early mornings, let those mornings be productive mornings. Give barakah and blessings in that time. And then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself swears, take an oath by the morning hours before cheering up his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning of Surah Ad-Duha. Some time ago, long time ago, Maulana, we had a program on radio on depression and sadness. And when we were discussing that topic, we gave a tafsir and a commentary of Surah Ad-Duha, that how Surah Ad-Duha addresses sadness and depression, and how it gives us, just reflecting on Surah Ad-Duha is a means of removing sadness and depression. Now, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that moment of encouragement to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on that early part of the morning. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send out his army, he would send them at the beginning of the day.
Gee.
There was a man that was engaged in trade, and he used to send his goods out at the beginning of the day, and his wealth grew and increased because of this hadith, because of this dua. The blessings which most of us keep deprived ourselves of because we prefer to be in the bed for long after the sun has already risen up to grab our share of these blessings, it is imperative for us to wake up early. And the only way to achieve this is to sleep early. And the social media, our iPads, our phones are actually keeping us away from that. Maulana, I think we'll conclude here today, and inshallah we will continue some other time from here.
Sure. Well, just one thing that you wanted to say. We see that the old people, I know there's one uncle that comes to the masjid, I always ask him, what time you wake up? And he always tells me like an hour and a half before Fajr Salah. And obviously this only can happen if you're going to sleep early. And you see
Absolutely. And obviously
with social media, and if you busy till late at night, it becomes very difficult for you to wake up in the morning once more.
Absolutely, Mama.
Ma, Jazakallah for the beautiful nasiha that you gave us today. It was much appreciated. We hope to speak to Maulana again next week, and we will continue with this discussion.
Inshallah.
Maulana, it brings to the end of this episode. Until we meet again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.